Amen. We're in a series right now just called Praise. Praise is not something that we just do once in a while. It is who we are as the people of God. He has called us to praise Him. I want to remind you of these verses from 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's who we are. We're the people of God, His own special people, that He called out of darkness into His marvelous light, but don't miss this, to show forth the praises of Him. We are the people of God who lift Him up and give Him praise and glory and honor in the earth today. And that's who we are. It's something that we're supposed to live out every day of our life. In Psalm 34:1, we talked about this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. In Hebrews 13:15, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. We're supposed to do this all the time, that we're always giving God praise and glory, because I want to tell you, He's always good. There's always something to praise the Lord for. But, you know, when things are going great, it ought to be easy for us to praise Him. Amen? I mean, if you don't praise the Lord when things are going good for you, what is wrong with you? Right? I mean, we got to praise Him. Don't take things for granted. We praise the Lord when things are going good. But you know where it gets difficult is that most of us, well, we got battles. I mean, if you don't have one right now, just give it a day or so, right? But we go through these battles, and when we're going through a battle, we don't feel like praising the Lord. That's the very time that we got to continually praise Him. We just got to keep on praising Him, no matter how we feel. That's who we are as the people of God. And we need to understand that when we face those battles, you know, there's so much adversity in life. Why? Why is that? Why is there so much adversity in life? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, you have an adversary, the devil. That's why there's so much adversity in life. God is not your adversary. The devil is your adversary. He's the one that's always working against you. And he hates it when you praise the Lord. He'll do anything he can to keep you from praising the Lord. And we need to understand that when we're in those battles, that's the very time that we need to continue to praise the Lord and give Him the glory and the honor. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, even when we're in a great battle. Because 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you don't get any victories without battles. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that He loves you. See, He loves us. He wants us to have victory in our battles. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, we're going to see principles from the Word of God that I believe will bring victory in our battles. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles in chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We'll begin there with verses 3 and 4. But let me just tell you the situation and what's going on here. Jehoshaphat was king of Judah, and he heard that Judah was going to be attacked by two great armies, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and some others also were joining in with them. But here's the bottom line. They faced a battle that there was absolutely no way they could win in the natural. They didn't have a chance. It was impossible. So Jehoshaphat, the king, this is what he does. It says in verse 3 and 4, he feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat's first response was to seek the Lord. You see, there were a lot of times in history when kings were in this situation. And they would send word to their allies. They would try to get other nations to come and to help them to fight their enemies that had gathered against them. But that wasn't Jehoshaphat's response here. His first response was to seek the Lord. And you see, we need to get this. If we want to see our battle turn to victory, our first response needs to be to go to the Lord, to seek the Lord. We don't look to our own strengths. We're not looking to the things of man or other things. God is not the last resort. Don't treat God like, well, you know, if everything else doesn't work, well, I'll give God a chance. No, God is the first place that you go. The first thing you do when you have a battle is you go to the Lord. You acknowledge Him as your source. You acknowledge Him as the one that brings victory in your life. See, there's no way that they could win, so they seek the Lord. That's always our first answer, is to go to the Lord, because He is the answer. Now here's part of Jehoshaphat's prayer, verse 5 and 6. Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? I want you to understand part of his prayer here. It's formed as a question. It's a rhetorical question. A rhetorical question is a question with an obvious answer to emphasize something. He's not in doubt here. He's not questioning whether or not God is these things. He is declaring that this is who God is. He's declaring the greatness and the power of God. And you see, if we're going to see our battles turn to victory, we need to declare the greatness and the power of our God. We need to know there is nothing that's any match for our God. He has all the power. There's no sickness, disease, not even cancer that can stand against Him. There's no addiction, no bondage. See, not alcohol, not drugs, not pornography. There's no addiction that can stand against His power. There's no need in our life that He can't meet. He paves His streets with gold. It's not hard for God. See, it doesn't matter what's going on, and you've sinned and you've messed up. There's no guilt that His blood can't wash. There's no mountain that He can't move. Listen, one word from His mouth and demons flee. There's no powers of hell that can stand against our God. He has the power, and you need to know the greatness and the power of your God. Nobody can stand against Him. So whatever your battle, you declare the greatness and the power of God. Jehoshaphat ends his prayer with this in verse 12. He says, we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Don't miss this. We have no power against this enemy, and we don't know what to do. We sang it this morning, and it's very clear in Scripture that Jesus has given us power. But listen to me, where a lot of people miss it is they forget that apart from Jesus, apart from Him, we have no power. And you see, the battles that we face, we need to acknowledge that in our own human strength. See, it's not, are we tough enough? Are we strong enough? Are we smart enough? We acknowledge before God our inability, and we look to Him as the one who has the power to get it done. See, it's not, well, I know what to do. No, we say without you, Lord, we don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. To see victory in our battles, we got to get our eyes on the Lord. I can't do this. I don't know what to do. It's not in my eyes are on you, Lord. See, instead of focusing on our battle, instead of focusing on the enemy, instead of focusing on our strengths or what we have or we don't have, we're focusing on the Lord. See, you don't focus on the sickness or the sin or the addiction. You focus on Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, who fights for us. You focus on Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You focus on Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You focus on the deliverer, the redeemer, the way maker. See, you focus on him. Get your eyes off of the situation. And you say, my eyes are on you, Lord. My eyes are on you, whatever the battle, because he has all the power. Romans 8:31 tells us, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? See, it doesn't matter how great the odds are against you. It doesn't matter if it's impossible. All things are possible with God. And if he is for you, who can be against you? Our eyes are on you, Lord. You don't look at the circumstances, but you look to the Lord. It's so important that we understand this. You know, a lot of people criticize Peter because when he got out of the boat and he started walking on the water, he began to sink. But all I know is that other than Jesus, Peter's still the only one that walked on water. But here's what happened. As he's walking on the water, he began to see the wind and the waves. He got his eyes on the wrong thing. He got his eyes off of Jesus and onto the circumstances, and he began to sink. Now, Jesus rescued him, but Jesus said to him, oh, you of little faith. What happened here? You see, he got his eyes off of God, and he got his eyes on the circumstances. And when we get our eyes on the circumstances, we're not walking in faith anymore. No, we're looking at the wrong thing. You want to keep your faith strong? You get your eyes fixed on him. You keep your eyes on him no matter what the battle. You keep focused on the Lord. Jehoshaphat and the people prayed, and the Lord spoke through one of the Levites. The Levites were the priests. And I just want to remind you, we read it a few minutes ago in 1 Peter 2:9. We are a royal priesthood. But here's what this priest said in 2 Chronicles 20:15. He says, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not ours, it's God's. To see our battle turned for victory, we need to give it to the Lord. Put it in God's hands. Turn it over to him. And you see, just like Jehoshaphat, his battle was too much for him. Sometimes our battle is just too much, but it's never too much for God. So you give it to him. You give him the burden of it. You cast the care of it over on him. You turn it over to him. I want to tell you, when you really give it to God, you can relax. Because when the battle is the Lord's, you're going to be all right. But you got to turn it over to him. You got sickness in your body? Give it to him. You got problems in your finances? Give it to him. Amen. Submit it to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Your marriage? Turn it over to God. I'll tell you, whatever battle the Lord takes over in, it's going to turn out in victory. See, and so we give it to him. And here's the thing, we give him the outcome of that. We give him the glory and we give him the praise. As long as we're still doing it and we're still looking to our own strengths, so often we end up not giving God the praise that he deserves. The pride of man wants to get in. And I want to tell you, it hinders, it keeps God from moving and working in your life and doing what he wants to do. Verse 16, they said, tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Wow. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. To see victory in our battles, I want to tell you something. We need a word from God. You see, they got a word from God. I believe I have a word from the Lord this morning. Praise him in the battles. I tell you, these scriptures, these aren't fairy tales that are just written to read to your kids at night. These are principles for us to live by, to see God move and work in our day and in our lives, in our battles. And we got to learn to praise him in the battle. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Think about this. Nothing has changed. They're still facing this mighty army that there's no way that they can win. Nothing has changed. But they get up from worshiping the Lord and they just start praising him like it's all good. With loud voices, they're praising the Lord. Why? Because they believed. So they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. You shall be established, believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." To see our battles turn, we have to believe. We have to believe. And what do we believe? I want to tell you, you can believe anything. And nowadays, people pretty much believe anything and all kinds of junk. It's crazy what people believe. Even in the name of Jesus, what people believe. Here's what you believe. You believe the Word of God. His Word is always true. It never changes. And he always keeps his Word. So you believe the Word of God. When you got a Word from God, faith comes. See, when you got a word from God, you know it's done. And I want to remind you just a few of the promises, just a handful of them. This book is full of promises from cover to cover. By the way, it doesn't have to say, hey, this is a promise. If he said it, it's a promise. He keeps his word. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. He says, I will restore you and heal you of your wounds. It says he binds up the brokenhearted. You see, there's so many promises, and you need to know that when you have his word on something, that you can praise him for it. You don't have to wonder. You can praise him because he always keeps his word. And here's one I just got to get in this morning. I will not die, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. A lot of you know that's the word that the Lord gave my wife 15 years ago when she was first diagnosed with cancer. And there were doctors that said, you're going to die, and doctors who said, you shouldn't even be here. 15 years later, his word is still good. She's still living and declaring the works of the Lord. And I just want you to understand, when you got a word from God, you can praise him even when it still looks really, really bad. You're praising. Praise him in the midst of the battle. We put our faith in him and what he says because his word is true. Nothing changed, and yet they were already praising him. Why? Because they believed. Now, Jesus said this in Mark 11:24, not some, you know, crazy wackadoo preacher on TV. Jesus said this, Mark 11:24, whatever things you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive. Believe that you receive, and you shall have them. Let me tell you how you can tell. If you really believe, when you really believe, you're not sad anymore. When you really believe, you're not scared anymore. When you really believe, you praise him. Because when you believe, you just receive the answer to your prayer. You got something to praise him for. And this is his word. You shall have it. I tell you, see, we need to get that kind of faith where we got enough faith that we actually believe, and so we praise him for it. In 2 Chronicles 20:21, he says, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever.'" You know, it's amazing. There doesn't seem to be any dispute, no complaining. These singers, "Hey, we're sending you guys out front. No weapons, just go sing, all right? Here we go." Can you imagine? They believed. And they went out singing, "Praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever." Something happened. Verse 22, "Now when they began to sing and to praise," when they began to sing and to praise. See, this is why we sing about praise being a weapon. Listen, when we begin to sing and praise, God moves. God works on our behalf. And you see it so clearly here. I gotta say it one more time. This is not a fairy tale. These people were in a very real situation, desperate situation. No way out, no way to win. But they believed and they praised God in the midst of it. When they began to sing, something happened. The Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude. There were dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. That is God bringing the victory. That is God fighting your battle. And what did they do? They just praised the Lord. You praise him in the battle. It is an expression of our faith. You know, a lot of the time we struggle to believe. Anybody else? Come on. We struggle sometimes. It's hard sometimes. We know what the word says and we're praying, but we struggle to believe. And I want you to understand something. You see, when you begin to praise the Lord, something happens. When they begin to sing and praise the Lord, something happened. And when you begin to praise the Lord, you see, there's a shift in your mind and your heart. You get your mind off of your situation in the battle and you're praising him as a mighty God. Now your mind is on him. Your eyes are on him. Like Jehoshaphat said, you're thinking about the power of God. Your faith begins to rise. It reinforces your faith. It's an expression of faith, but it also reinforces your faith. And if you're struggling to believe, you need to praise him in the midst of that battle and just start praising him more and more and more. Facing a great battle, you praise the Lord. You got, your job is on the line. What do you do? Well, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm struggling with my marriage. I'm going to praise the Lord. My kid's going the wrong way. I'm going to praise the Lord in the midst of it. Whatever's going on, you praise the Lord. When you're stressed and you're anxious, you praise him. You say, "Lord, you are my peace. You give me a peace that passes understanding." When you're down and depressed, you say, "I thank you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You give me fullness of joy. You give me the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." See, you get your eyes off of that and you get your eyes onto him and you just start praising him. You praise him. When you're sick, who feels like praising the Lord when you're sick? But you praise him as your healer. You praise him in that battle as the one who fights for you. Most of the time when trouble comes, the natural response is that we go into complain mode. Anybody else struggle with complain mode? It can happen to you just in a moment. Something doesn't go your way. So it doesn't even have to be a big battle. Just even little things in life, and we start complaining, complain mode. You know what we ought to do? Every time we're tempted to go into complain mode, we ought to go into praise mode. There's something that comes up, this ain't right. Praise the Lord. Just begin to praise the Lord. Get your eyes on Him and off of those circumstances. But when you're going through a great battle, it is critical for you. When you get in complain mode, it drags you down. It is a downward slide. And not only that, it drags down people around you. When you're talking all negative and about how bad things are, stop it. Stop it. People of God, this is who we are. We praise the Lord. Our God will bring us through to victory. Don't listen and repeat the garbage of the world. We're the people of God. We praise Him. My goodness. I just don't know what we're going to do. These gloom and doom preachers need to read the Bible. Our God has never failed. He is mighty. He's mighty to save, and He'll make a way. We just need to praise Him in the midst of it. He turns our battles. Amazing. He can turn our battles into a blessing. And the things that the enemy means for harm, God can turn for good. I mean, it's enough just to praise Him for winning the battle for us. But so often, He will take that very thing and bring blessing through it. See this in the scripture. Verse 25, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil. Now, we don't talk that way nowadays, but the spoil was the treasures. It was all of the riches that they had. It said they found among them abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. More than they could carry. Wow. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, that the name of that place was called the valley of Baraka unto this day. Baraka means blessing. The battlefield. The battlefield that was intended to be a valley of death for those people turned into a valley of blessing for those people. And God blessed them. What if your greatest battle was turned into a blessing? Verse 27, it says, they returned and every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. I want you to remember, they didn't start to praise the Lord when they saw the victory. They started to praise the Lord before it ever even took place. And that's what we have to do. That's faith. It's not faith when you see it. I believe it when I see it. That's not faith. I believe it and I'm going to see it. That's faith. But they praised the Lord before it ever even started, but that wasn't the end of their praise. I want you to see here that after it was over, they didn't stop praising God. They didn't go on about their business. They didn't say, wow, look at all the stuff I've got. We're rich, honey. I'm going home. No, they went to Jerusalem. They went to the temple. They came to praise the Lord. Isn't that the right response? My goodness, their lives were just spared and God had blessed them and they came together to praise the Lord. I want to tell you, when you're going through a great battle, you don't sit home in front of the TV set. You get yourself to the house of God and you praise Him. And when God has wrought the victory for you, you don't sit home and watch TV or take care of the yard. You get yourself to the house of God because you got something to celebrate. If He saved you, if He healed you, if He set you free, well, that was yesterday. What's He done for me today? Listen, we owe Him our eternal praise. And every day he's good to us. Every day, I don't know about you, but every day I'm living in the mercy of God, the blessing of God. He's way better to me than I could ever deserve. And I owe him. I have an obligation to come and to celebrate and to praise him and let the world know that my God is good. I can't not do it. He's worthy of my praise. I tell you, there's going to be some people get to heaven, they're going to be all weirded out. What's all this praise stuff? Get used to it. We're supposed to be a people of praise, to show forth his praise every day in our life. That's why we come together as a people. And I know I'm different. I know I'm weird. That pastor, man, he's crazy, isn't he? But I just got to tell you, I don't believe what's going on in the church in America right now is not right. Where people go to church, well, maybe I get something. I get something every time I come to church. But that ain't why I come. I come to give him something. I'm just telling you, yes, we get blessed. Yes, God is good to us. Yes, we come and God moves and works in our lives. But it's not about, well, I didn't get nothing out of that service. I want to tell you, when you praise God from the heart, you always get something. And we just got to get it right, get our heart right, our attitude right. Because so many people, they're not experiencing the victories and the miracles that God wants to do in their life. And here's one of the reasons. They're not giving him the praise that he deserves. You praise him in the battle. No matter what the situation, no matter how great the battle, you praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing, and to praise, when they began to sing and to praise, something happened. When they began to sing and to praise. I want you to stand with me. I want our prayer partners to come. We're going to pray.